Okay, so we're going to start in Psalm 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright, this man that fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments. To the upright, there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. He sure is blessed, huh? Mm-hmm. A good man, the same fellow, shows favor and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. And that's what we're going to look at today, fixed. His heart is fixed. Trusting in the Lord, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. This man that loves and respects and fears the Lord and that delights in his commandments of the Lord will be very, very blessed. You see some of the blessings that God promises in this section. And then it says that he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. And evil tidings, bad, it even means malignant tidings, just disgusting bad things. He shall not be afraid of that because his heart is fixed. And I want to look at the word fixed because it's a very strong word. There's a lot involved in having our hearts fixed to be able to trust in the Lord. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. It's a word, K-U-W-N, kun, kwan, however you want to say it. I listen to all the pronunciations, you know. I'm like, some of them are like, and it sounds like you're trying to hawk something up. So I'm just going to say it the English way today, okay, because we're going to be in the Old Testament. I'll say it in the vernacular, if you will. So he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of those horrible tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Of course, because he delights in God's commandments and because he fears the Lord. So he's fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. That's another word, kamak. And it means that he leans upon. That's all that he leans upon. His heart is established with the Lord. He leans upon the Lord, period. And until he sees his desire upon his enemies. Let's look at Judges. We're going to stay in the Old Testament today. Joshua, Judges. Let's see, verse 16. Whoever gets there, if you want to.
Which chapter?
16, verse 29.
Verse 10 what?
29. Joshua 16. Anybody there?
Joshua or Judges?
Oh, yeah, Judges. Sorry. Judges 16, 29. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to read it?
Sure. It says, and Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left.
Again, we see these two words, K-U-W-N and Kamak, together. Stood is what the whole temple, the whole thing stood upon that. It indicates that it's upright, that it's firm, that it's just there. That's what the building stood on. And then the borne up is Kamak, where it leaned, the house also leaned upon that. So the point being that this word fixed is a very strong word. There's a lot involved in it. It's not just, I'm convinced that he's good. I'm convinced that God does what God does. I'm satisfied to know. It's a little deeper than that. In Genesis chapter 41, I'll go there. Right there. 41. This is referring to something that God did in verse 32. Yeah, for 32. This is when Pharaoh had the dream about the famine that was going to come. And then Joseph interpreted the dream. Okay, and in verse 32 it says, and for that dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God. That word established, same thing. And God will shortly bring it to pass. It's a strong word. It's used as prepared, established, fixed. But it was to show that when God established it, it was there. It was a done deal. That was it. There was no turning back from it. God would not turn back from it. In Jeremiah, these are just different renderings of the word to get a little flavor of it. Jeremiah 51:15. Anybody there?
I am.
Okay, go ahead.
15?
Jeremiah 51:15.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It says, He has made the earth by His power, He has established the world by His wisdom, and has stretched out the heaven by His understanding.
So established again, that's how God founded the heavens, the earth, everything. So it's a very, very strong word. Now we're going to look at Joshua. At a record that shows the strength of the word. K-U-W-N. So Joshua, his numbers are Joshua Judges. Huh. I'm so used to using my computer. There it is. It takes me a while to get there now. Joshua 3. Okay. We're going to read chapters 3 and 4. And this is when the children of Israel were going to cross into the promised land. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And wonders are something we cannot do for ourselves. God does wonders. So he was letting them know, you're going to see wonders. Must have been exciting, you know. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark. And we're going to pay attention to these priests. They're key in our understanding of this word. Take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they that took up the ark of the covenant went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. So they're supposed to go to the brink and stand still. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you unto Jordan, into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of a tribe every man, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. Boy, that is a wonder. Amazing. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overflows its banks. By the way, Jordan's the flood stage at this time of the year. I just thought we'd mention that. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed right over against Jericho. And verse 17, and the priests, now these priests had to be some strong men in mind, because here they're going to lead all these people across the river, and God says, Dip your feet in. As soon as your feet touch that, that water's going to stand on a heap. Somebody's got to believe God's word. They've got to believe what he says. And these priests, look what they did. And the priests, and Joshua was involved in this too. I mean, I'm not saying this is all, but look how God says this. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm. And that's that same word. They stood firm. Upright, standing firm, planted. No moving around at all. They stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. Beautiful. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Nobody took a bathroom break. Oh, excuse me. I got to go fix my underwear. I got to wait. Nothing like that. They stood firm. And I don't mean to make small of it, but it's a big deal that they stood there. Can you imagine being the ones that are taking the Ark of the Covenant across and all those people's lives depend upon you doing exactly what God says? Not jump in and dance around, but let your feet touch it, and boom, it's going to stand on a heap. And they had to accept that. They had to not only accept it, but they had to firmly stand upon it. They had to believe it. It was a strength of understanding in God's word. They didn't just get, these priests weren't, you know, 15 years old and just got smacked in the head by their parents and said, oh, okay, now you're a priest, boom, go do this. They had depth of understanding and depth of heart for God. Like the man in Psalms that was blessed, that's blessed because of his fear of the Lord and his love of God's commandments. And in verse chapter 4, it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, same thing again, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what ye need by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off. You got it? The waters of Jordan were cut off. This is big, okay? And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And this is a pattern that I've seen in several records. We're not going to look at all of them. But when the believers stand firm because of their fear of the Lord and their love of God's commandments, then there's teaching that comes along with it. And there's great glory to God. So right here, these guys stood firm. Where those priests stood firm, get the rocks, we're going to make this a memorial for our children so we can tell them that God stopped the waters. He stopped them. He stopped them. So there's profit all the way around, not just to the individual standing firm. Certainly God gets the glory, and then to other individuals because of it. Really great. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people. So they stood there while Joshua taught the people. That the Lord commanded Joshua to speak to the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. So just the armed men were 40,000. Can you imagine standing there, standing firm with the waters on a heap, believing what God said? Then God instructs Joshua to teach the people. These guys had to be like set. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. So they stood firm. So there's a real depth to standing firm, to having our hearts fixed, trusting in the Lord. Let's look at David, a few verses about David in 1 Chronicles. Samuel Kings. I have to go through all the books of the Bible in my head when I go through the. I'm so used to doing this, you know what I mean? That when I use the hard copy, I got to do it. Yeah. First Chronicles, Chapter 28. Did I say that? Sorry. Chapter 28 is 1. And verse 2. It's just about David. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God." What a beautiful figure, the footstool of our God. "And had made ready for the building." That "had made ready for the building" is the same word as fixed, firm, established. He had made ready for the building. Now, it turns out that God said, "No, David, you're not going to build it. Your son Solomon's going to build it." But David did many, many preparations for that. He made ready. I want to look at a couple of them. In chapter 29, verse 2, David says, "Now I have prepared," same thing, "prepared with all my might." Well, I prepared a little bit, you know, like I knew you were coming over, so I got some instant coffee out. Or, "You were coming, so I cleaned the house, and I did everything I could do to make your visit here as comfortable as possible. I got your favorite foods, the favorite thing you like to drink. I put on your favorite music." There's a big difference there, right?
Sure.
Well, David prepared for the temple, even though he wasn't going to build it. He wanted to make that footstool for our God. He had such a heart for God. But he prepared with all his might. Same thing. Prepared for all his might, that same word. And this is some of the things he prepared. "The gold for things to be made of gold, the silver for things of silver, the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones," that means a fair color, glistering, bright, fair color, "and of many colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have mine own proper good." He gave up his own stuff, not just of the kingdom. "Gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." Yes, the holy house. And then in 22, this is still David, obviously. 22, verse 14.
Chapter 22?
Yep. 22:14. Same book. "Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house," again, prepared, "of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold." I looked up talents to see if I could actually get figure out a monetary thing. And it varied throughout all the different cultures and centuries. The Romans had a different thing for talents than somebody else. But a talent was always the largest measure. A talent was a very large measure, okay, in those cultures. So, point being, it wasn't a little bit. Okay, 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000 talents of silver, and of brass, and of iron without weight. "For it is in abundance, timber also, and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto," and more things. So David really had a heart, and he put his might, his effort into preparing things for the building of this house for God. And one more, we'll look at chapter 29, same book, again. And we'll read a few verses here. We'll go back to, 3. I know we read before this, but. "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses withal, the gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" Here comes the teaching involved in this, the preparation, the being firm and fixed. And now he says, "Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day of the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for the service of house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver, 10,000 talents, and of brass, 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron, and they with whom prepared, they with whom precious stones were found, gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of the of Jehiel the Gershonite, that's it, Gershonite. Then the, he's in a pickle. Sorry. I was in a pickle. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever." So David's preparation led to an understanding for the people of preparing as well. And then the bigwigs, you know, the VIPs, they got on board with it. But then the people in generally gave willingly of their hearts. They had to have understood something, but David stood firm upon it. He prepared his heart regarding it. And he prepared to help with the temple, to help his son to be able to build it. So next, we're going to look at Ezra. This will be the last record, except for one scripture after that. So, Ezra chapter 10, I mean 7, sorry. Okay, this is one, this king of Persia here. I'm gonna do it. Artaxerxes is how you're supposed to say Artaxerxes. We're going to call him Artaxerxes, okay? All right. Now, first one. After these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalom, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Mariah, the son of Zariah, the son of Uzi, the son of Buki, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra, this man, Ezra, went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. And a ready scribe, he was prompt, he was specific, he was superb in the law of Moses. He really got the law of Moses, and we'll see this as we go on, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord of his God upon Ezra. And there went up some of the children of Israel and of the priests and the Levites and the singers and the porters and the Nethinims unto Jerusalem in the 7th year of Artaxerxes the king. The porters were the guys that opened the temple doors, and the Nethinims were slaves in the sanctuary for the service in the sanctuary. He came to Jerusalem in the 5th month, which was in the 7th year of the king, for upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the 5th month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. Remember, this reminds me of Psalm 112, where we started, blessed is the man that fears the Lord and loves his commandments. And that's the man that's fixed, trusting in the Lord. Ezra sure was fixed, trusting in the Lord. And we see this, the good hand of his God upon him, for, because Ezra had prepared, and this is that same word, prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it in Israel, statutes and judgments. So Ezra had done what he needed to do to be a superlative scribe in the law of Moses, and then he spent his life seeking and doing it and teaching it. He was fixed, trusting in the Lord. He had prepared his heart, that same word, K-U-W-N. Now this is the copy, as a result of all this, this is what the king did. This is the copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra, the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord. Maybe in your center reference you see, to Ezra the priest, the perfect scribe of the law of God of heaven. That's what a lot of times he's referred to in here. I've checked a lot of translations, and it's really a very specific way of talking about Ezra. It means that Ezra really, really had a grip on this stuff. And to him it was life. It was his life that word of God and that God of his and ours. So he gets this letter, and even the king recognized how wonderful Ezra was with this stuff. And first of all, Artaxerxes, the king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, here's the letter. A scribe of the law of God of heaven, perfect peace, and at such a time I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel, of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with you. So the king's going to let them all go. Anybody that wants to go, go. Okay? For as much as thou art sent to the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of thy God which is in thine hand, and to carry the silver and gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem, and all the silver and gold that thou canst find in all the province of Babylon, with the freewill offering of the people and of the priests, offering willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem, that thou mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs, with their meat offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. So he's going to give him whatever money he needs. Everybody, give him the money he needs and go get your sacrifices going after your God's in Jerusalem. Anybody wants to go, go. And he's going to help him out. Sounds like that Ezra's blessed. He sounds like a blessed man there. That thou mayest buy, verse 18. And whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and gold, that do after the will of your God. So anything that's left over, whatever your God wants to do with it, go ahead, man, do it. The vessels also that are given thee for the service of the house of thy God, those deliver thou before the God of Jerusalem. And whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have occasion to bestow, bestow it out of the king's treasure house. What? So the king's going to give him whatever he needs for that house of God. This is a blessed man. God's getting glorified, right? Ezra is a blessed man. He's standing firm. He prepared his heart to seek the Lord and to, you know, to do his word and to teach it in all Israel. He did some, there was some work involved in that. And it's, God is blessing him right down the line and blessing God's people at the same time. So then the king goes, and I, even Artaxerxes, the king, do make a decree to all the treasures which are beyond the river, that so whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of God of heaven, shall require of you, it be done speedily. So he's telling his guys, whatever Ezra tells you, do it fast. Unto 100 talents of silver, unto 100 measures of wheat, to 100 baths of wine, to 100 baths of oil, and salt without prescribing how much. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? The king's like, I'm not making this God mad. Here's Ezra. Ezra's done his job. God has blessed him. I've seen everything that's gone on. I'm not messing with this God. Or God's people. Also, we certify you that touching any of the priests, Levites, singers, porters, nethinims, or ministers of this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them. So the king says to his guys, hey, come here, fellas. I want you to get those easy passes, strap them to the camel's heads, and take all their W-2s and the returns and rip them up, okay? No tax, toll, tribute, nothing. They're free. Free as birds. Boo! Let them go. Nothing. Which was unheard of in those times. I mean, they were extortioners. They would get money out of anybody for anything. You know, you walk across their property a little bit, and they could tax you, toll you. So, and now Ezra, and plus a lot of, another thing, tribute was often given to kings and major world leaders because they felt themselves to be gods. They felt they were owed tribute. So this is quite a concession on behalf of this king because of the greatness of our God and Ezra's stand. And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not. So he's like, Ezra, I want you to teach the word. I think that's sweet. Doesn't matter what I think, but And whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, threw that in there, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death, to banishment, confiscation of goods, or imprisonment. So Ezra, whoever doesn't do your law, set up the magistrates, you make sure there's order there, and it's the law of your God, and they should do the law of the king too while they're at it. Blessed, here we go. And this is Ezra speaking. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord. Remember that footstool for our God? Which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. And you'll see that there was a great success. A great success. And again, he wanted to teach it to people. And, you know, we can keep preparing our hearts. We prepare our hearts. We endeavor to keep our hearts fixed, trusting in the Lord. John did a great teaching while we were gone about 6 weeks ago on trust. Just fabulous. We can keep our hearts firm, right? Staked in, dead center, firm, strong on the word, prepared, established to seek God, have our hearts trusting in God. And we're going to close in Psalm 108. Psalm 108, first one. And I decided to close here because when we do God's will, he always gets the glory. And you see this here, oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. God gets the glory when we do that stuff and his will is done. And then, of course, we're blessed by it and so are other people. So that's it, a little bit on fixed.
Awesome.
Trust in the Lord.